I appreciate her patience greatly as we waxed idiotic about cereal in the last segment. National Cereal Day, what can you do? I mean, it's going to come up. We are joined right now by State Representative Stephanie Hilferty, representing part of Metairie in New Orleans down there. Representative Hilferty, welcome back to Talk 107.3. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
Doing very well. What's your favorite cereal?
Okay, kid cereal or adult healthy-ish cereal?
I love the fact that you asked it that way because, we need responsible legislators over there. Alondra and I dug in on Lucky Charms right off the bat. No mention of health or fiber or heart health or whatever. So, yes, thank you for being responsible. Let's go kids first.
Oh, Fruity Pebbles all the way.
Nice.
Yeah, and Lucky Charms, only good for the marshmallows.
See? But it's part of it, though. There's a whole backstory here you don't want to uncover. Favorite adult cereals, what?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with one of the Kashis, I think.
Oh, I can get down with that. Okay,
a
very good.
Goleen Crunch.
I see it. Stephanie Hilferty, our guest. Okay, moving on to some less important topics. No, actually, more important topics. We've got the upcoming session to talk about. I've got to start by rewinding the clock to last year's session. And we get more nonsense coming your way, Stephanie. Brace yourself. You put out a bill last year that I think was read on the House floor, assigned to committee, and then just died right there. You wanted to put a stop to people feeding alligators when they're leaving Bucktown or West Bend.
Yeah, no, it's a real problem. So I know your listeners are up in Baton Rouge. So my district runs along Lake Pontchartrain. So there are alligators in Lake Pontchartrain. There are alligators in Bayou St. John, both of which are right near my district. And there's a few restaurants where some folks had gotten into feeding alligators, I think with chicken tenders. And what happened was the alligators became habituated. Almost, you feed ducks bread, they're going to keep coming back, but this is an alligator. Mm-hmm. So it was turning into a dangerous situation. I brought the bill not realizing, and actually Department of Wildlife and Fisheries was supportive of it. Around the state, there were a lot of my colleagues in the legislature that did not want to see this ban go in effect. I think there's a specific, so we're looking into some ways that maybe it could be instituted by a local ordinance. The problem is you're dealing with state water bottoms on the edge of the water.
Yeah. Okay, so Stephanie Hilford is our guest. Your cell phone cut out for a minute. Probably the most important words within that one. The change would be moving it from state to local is what you're saying they're looking at?
Potentially looking at moving it towards a local ordinance that would prohibit the feeding of alligators. That's what we're potentially looking at this point.
Okay. Well, I mean, local government, I'll always defer to local government versus state. You like local control. That's fair. Although, Stephanie, I will say between last year and this year, I don't know if I could support this bill this time around because of the number of cars that get broken into in Lakeview. If you've got alligators roaming the streets, there's probably going to be fewer people breaking into cars.
Look, without a doubt, the crime in Lakeview, in Orleans Parish in general, is out of control. I'm actually working on some bills to address that. We've got one bill I'm working on with Lori Schlegel, who is the representative for Old Metairie. This would allow DAs an additional 30 days to look to if the offender is a juvenile, it would give them an additional 30 days to look to move that to adult court, particularly in some of these violent crimes.
We actually had Representative Schlegel on about this last week, that and the one about when you've got a number of simple robberies or simple break-ins in a row, putting some more teeth behind that as well.
Yes, I saw her bill specific to if it's near a major event, which I think was in response to some of those break-ins that occurred around the Superdome and the Smoothie King Center after, Pelicans games and Saints games.
Yep.
I actually had a bill a few years ago that said if you're doing that while armed with a gun, if you're breaking into cars, pulling on car door handles while armed with a gun, that there was a mandatory sentence associated with that. The car break-ins have been a problem for quite some time in the New Orleans area.
We're talking with State Representative Stephanie Hilferty, who So you get together with Lori Schlegel, what, like a couple Dominican girls just rolling out together or what?
Oh, look, gotta love the black and white, you know, Veritas for life, so.
let's move over to this upcoming legislative session. Actually, one of the main things I wanted to talk with you about is something that we talked with our state superintendent of education in our last segment. You are, I want to say, on the education committee, right? You're,
Yes. Okay,
vice chair on that committee, if I'm not mistaken. Now,
vice chair of commerce, but I'm on education.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
All right, vice chair of commerce, but on education. Bessie's going to be meeting today and tomorrow talking about changing up the MFP, talking about getting a raise for teachers. What's that going to look like once it hits the legislative session? This is one of the things the governor's pushing hard for in his last session, is getting a raise for teachers. Are we going to see this get there?
Yeah, look, I'm certainly supportive of that. And I think what was interesting, and I was actually looking back because I saw that you had Superintendent Brumley on as your guest prior. I guess he was right before me.
Yep.
Back in 2019, he actually supported and passed a millage in Jefferson Parish. And I looked back at the totals, it was, I think it passed with 70% to increase teacher pay in Jefferson Parish through a parish-wide millage. And he had an interesting way he formulated that. And there were accountability factors. There was extra pay given for teachers in high-risk schools, you know, lower socioeconomic schools, that sort of thing. And that was the way the millage was organized. And it sounds like he's supporting a similar type of situation with this pay increase, just from some of the articles. I haven't spoken to him personally, but that was the impression I was getting.
Okay. I mean, can that be mapped out over the whole state the way Jefferson Parish wrote the blueprint?
Well, I think it's something we can certainly look at. In Jefferson Parish, as I remember it, for certain subjects where they had trouble getting teachers, maybe some of the math and sciences, there was an increase, a raise given for that. I think that the raise was given across the board. I should say that. The raise was given across the board. But there were additional raises given for, you know, teachers teaching maybe some of the math and sciences, teachers in lower socioeconomic schools, that sort of thing.
We're talking with State Representative Stephanie Hilferty, and an early preview of the upcoming legislative session. We're going to dive in on specific bills a lot more once the session gets a lot closer and actually gets here. Stephanie, what are you looking out for in the upcoming session?
Well, I think, look, certainly we've got the surplus we're looking at, and we've got to make sure while we take advantage of the money, that we're using it wisely, because as we know in Louisiana, surpluses come and then they go. Mm-hmm. I also think insurance is an absolutely crucial thing that we're going to look at this session. I know we have a special session, and that was extremely limited in scope and really was a one object session. You know, do you want to put money into this incentive program? But as any of your listeners know, and especially my constituents know, the insurance situation in this state is in a crisis, and we've got to look whether that's, and I think it's got to be a multi-tiered solution. Mm-hmm. Because the problem is multi-tiered, right? And so it's not just an incentive program. It's looking at how we build homes. It's, you know, promoting the fortified homes program, promoting fortified roofs, but also looking at how the insurance market is set up. Because we've got, you know, I see it both on the residential side. I've seen it personally, but I've seen it through my constituents. And we also see it on the commercial side, trying to insure commercial properties.
Oh, no, absolutely. Your district is kind of, not ground zero, but like, you know, you got Bucktown is right there on the lake, and then Lakeview went under in a big way during Hurricane Katrina. So what you're looking at for your constituents, this hits home directly, literally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, and with the companies failing, many of my constituents and myself included are on Citizens right now. Well, you know, as it stands right now, you get charged. Citizens has to be a certain percentage over the market. And I understand that under, let's say, quote unquote, normal circumstances. We don't want Citizens to become the insurer of last resort. I understand that. But right now, nobody wants to be on Citizens.
Right.
They're on Citizens because their company, many of whom that we brought to the state with the last incentive program, failed. So they're on Citizens, not by their own volition. Do we still need to be charging the surcharge over and above the market average? Maybe that returns once the market normalizes, but I don't think that makes sense at this point.
We're talking with Stephanie Hilferty, State Representative Stephanie Hilferty from down in Metairie and New Orleans. Before we get you out of here, we talked a little bit about crime with our reference of Lori Schlegel's bills. What else can be done on a statewide level to address crime, which is predominantly a local problem, though it seems like all localities have the same problem right now?
Look, we certainly need to look at our laws, but at the end of the day, it is how those localities use the laws, and I equate it to tools in a tool belt. I represent both Jefferson and New Orleans Parish, and you know, Jefferson is using many of the laws that are at their disposal, many of the tools in their tool belt. So it does. It's both having the laws at the state level and having them implemented and having a criminal justice system at the local level.
Jefferson Parish also has a former legislator working as their sheriff, so they would know how to access all that, know how to utilize all that, and know how to run with it for sure.
Yeah, but like I said, it's what we're working on, giving DAs an additional 30 days to look to move juvenile, you know, violent juvenile crime up to adult court. Mm-hmm. It's giving them those sorts of tools. It's what Representative Schlegel and I are working on as far as those types of things, giving victims additional rights in juvenile court. Right now, juvenile court's a bit of a black box. I've got a bill that I'm about to release that would give victims greater rights in juvenile court, but also open up those juvenile court proceedings if it's involving a felony or a violent crime.
Oh, wow. I know we're running long here, and I promised I would let you go by 8:30, but can you expound on that a little bit?
I mean, that's what it would do. It would give victims greater rights. Sometimes the victims aren't aware of the juvenile court proceedings that are occurring in their own case.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that with some of my constituents, and that's particularly disturbing, that you would not have the right to be at your own case. So that, you know, giving victims that additional greater access, but also when we're talking about a violent crime or a second offense felony, and this is, you know, the public at large has the right to know about violent crime.
Yeah.
It would open up those proceedings. So whether that's concerned citizens or any sort of journalist or and of course the victims would have the ability to see this proceeding.
Last one before I get you out of here on this, and that is this kind of like a middle area somewhere between a juvenile court and an adult court? Like this would be in lieu of moving juveniles to an adult court? This would just kind of change the game
a little. It would still be in juvenile court, but right now a lot of the proceedings in juvenile court are closed.
Yeah.
And so you don't know, you know, necessarily the extent of the crime. You don't know who the offender is, those sorts of things. And when we're talking about violent crimes, and that's what this bill is specifying, the public has a right to know.
Could not agree more. I love where this is going. And as we walk up towards a legislative session, finding more avenues, finding more spots where our legislators are saying, how can the state play a role in what would otherwise be a local issue? I greatly appreciate the insight and the efforts. She is State Representative Stephanie Hilferty. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Appreciate it.